How do you deal with living with a narcissist who is giving you the silent treatment? Someone who will coexist with you in the same house while literally ignoring you. What if it goes on for days or weeks? In other words, how do you beat the narcissist's silent treatment? Not only is it emotionally exhausting, but it makes you feel like you're completely worthless. So what are you supposed to do when you're the victim of the narcissist's silent treatment? Most experts are going to tell you that ideally this would be a two-word answer: no contact. But in real life, things don't always work ideally, and sometimes people have to live with narcissists. Just to be clear, the silent treatment is a manipulation tactic where a toxic narcissist will stop talking to you for hours, days, weeks, even months in order to punish you for some perceived slight. It can cause serious emotional and psychological damage if you don't realize what's happening while it's happening. Believe it or not, this is just one of the many signs of gaslighting and emotional abuse that you're going to notice in a toxic relationship with a narcissist. And in the case of a covert narcissist, you might often find yourself getting the old silent treatment during the discard phase. The first thing that you need to do as a survivor, as a future thriver, is educate yourself about the situation. I always say that knowledge is power, and the first fact you must know about this issue is exactly why they do it. Why do they give you the silent treatment in the first place? So let's talk about the narcissist's cycle of abuse. I've actually talked about this in a recent video, so take a look at this clip and then stick with me. I'll be right back here to explain exactly how and why narcissists use the silent treatment to punish you, as well as what you can do to beat it. So take a look. There are three main phases that you're going to find yourself going through with them. This is, of course, the idealization or love bombing phase, where you are showered with fake love, which makes you believe the narcissist is like your soulmate from heaven. The beginning of a relationship with a narcissist can be very deceptive. In most cases, a narcissistic relationship begins just like any other, with the standard phases of initial attraction, infatuation, and eventually falling in love. So do you remember the time when you first met your narcissistic ex and you thought that they were your soulmate? You could not believe that everything you loved, they loved, and everything you didn't like, they also didn't like. And then they would be so sweet and charming until their narcissistic side came out anyway. And then the next phase is where they devalue you and you begin to see their true colors, but they are cruel and they're condescending and they find things wrong with you. At first, they were like a dream come true for you and they became eventually your worst nightmare. But what you didn't know then is that the narcissist, they had their own underlying psychological issues, likely starting in early childhood. And then that last phase, of course, when they discard you. What happens is at the end of a narcissistic relationship, you get no closure. You're left reeling and spinning and you've got nothing. You have no idea what happened sometimes. And even if you do know what happened, you seek closure and you don't get it. And if you want closure, you're usually looking for something from the narcissist that makes it easier for you, whether it is an explanation of their behavior or an admission from them that you didn't do whatever it is that caused the breakup, or some other sort of closure. You never get it. It's very frustrating. The narcissist treats you like a thing as opposed to being a person. But you are treated during the breakup as an object or an extension of the narcissist's self, while a healthier person, even if the breakup is nasty and bad, might actually treat you with a little bit of love and respect, or at least respect. So while you can feel devastated and alone and confused and everything else at the end of a regular relationship, you're also going to find yourself feeling a whole different way at the end of a narcissistic relationship. I like to call it uncomfortably numb, right? Where you find yourself feeling completely lost. You don't even know what end is up. You don't even know who you are anymore. Well, the way they treat you is damaging. It's inhumane. It makes you not even know where you're at sometimes on a certain metaphysical level, right? The reasoning for the breakup from a narcissist is often convoluted. And if you aren't the one that did the discard, you very often find yourself feeling like you don't know what hit you. It's a roller coaster of emotions, and then suddenly you're out on your ass and you have no idea why.
All right, so it's important to recognize that while many people have a moment, they need to step away, they need to retreat and think about stuff, someone who really cares about you is never ever going to use this abusive tactic to punish you. This is not a tactic a healthy person would use, you understand? They wouldn't do this. Normal people don't punish someone for their own bad behavior, such as being caught in a lie, but narcissists, as you painfully know, most definitely will. This, my friend, should be a huge red flag for you. Let's discuss why narcissists are so prone to using the silent treatment as a way to manipulate and punish you. In other words, why do narcissists give you the silent treatment? What's the psychology of that? See, whether they recognize it consciously or not, narcissists are wired to sort of push your buttons in order to get what they want. Now, you might wonder which button they're trying to push when they just go silent, right? Like, what does that even mean? You might be surprised to find out that it's not really about making you crazy from lack of communication or even pure boredom, but it's really more about playing on your worst fears. Bear with me, I'll explain. I'm betting one of your worst fears is the fear of being alone in the world with no help or support from anyone to just be there for you. Am I right? And I'm guessing that if you're currently involved or were once involved with a narcissist, you're thinking of all kinds of little things the narcissist did in order to play on those fears. So by verbally and emotionally cutting you off, the narcissist offers you a little taste of what life might be like without their, you know, charming, awesome, godlike self. Did you catch that sarcasm? So that's why the narcissist ignores and belittles and devalues you, because it plays on your fear of being alone. It is the narcissist's hope that in enacting this silent narcissistic rage against you, they will force you into submission and into being the good little narcissistic supply they want. Plus, the silent treatment works particularly well on sensitive, empathic people who are often very attractive to narcissists, because we tend to be wired to respond and attempt to soothe the emotions of the people around us, especially when we love them. You feel me? There are no parallels to be drawn among the partners of narcissists if we're talking about height, weight, eye color, race, or any other physical or cultural characteristic. While there seems to be no ideal or standard mate, friend, spouse, etc. for a narcissist, there are certain similarities about the relationships that we can point out, certain parallels. For example, the narcissist typically begins any new relationship with sort of a honeymoon period, during which everything seems perfect, almost too good to be true. Living in a relationship with a narcissist can be everything from exciting and exhilarating to soul-sucking and traumatic. And it's usually one extreme or the other, depending on what day it happens to be. You might compare it to a type of emotional roller coaster. And a narcissist cannot exist without someone to adore, someone who will submit to their will, someone to be available at their whim and willing to disparage him or herself for their benefit. The narcissist's entire identity really depends on it. You don't have to take the silent treatment lying down. So let's talk about how we can beat the silent treatment from the narcissist. So how do you deal with this behavior without completely losing your flippin' mind? Well, if you're staying in the relationship because you feel like you have no choice, you can play the game. But in the end, the best option is always to leave and move forward. With that being said, we all know that sometimes it's easier said than done. And sometimes we have our reasons for making the choices that we make and for why we don't just leave already if it's so bad. So I want to say to you that if you are being physically abused, none of the following is relevant, and I want you to get help right now. So stop watching and start packing. But if you're still with me, make no mistake and recognize this. The silent treatment is abuse. It is painful and it makes you miserable. As someone who is probably codependent or has been in the past, you might feel like you need to fix whatever you did wrong in order to get the narcissist to be nice to you again. But the truth is, this is exactly what the narcissist wants. For you, my friend, to bend over backward, trying to appease them. All the while, the narcissist has absolutely no intention of allowing that to happen. They will only stop using the silent treatment when it is convenient for them to do that, or when they want or need something from you, of course. If the silent treatment is a narcissistic behavior, does going no contact make you a narcissist? People learn that the silent treatment and ghosting can be considered forms of narcissistic abuse, and they equate this to the way we treat a narcissist when we go no contact with them. And believe me, I get why they feel this way. I mean, it's a little confusing. In both the silent treatment and ghosting, the narcissist ignores us and or doesn't respond when we try to reach out to them. And in so many ways, that's exactly what we're doing when we're using the no contact method to heal ourselves. So what's the difference here? How is no contact different from the silent treatment and ghosting? Are we just as bad as the narcissist for choosing to end contact with them? Does this make us one of them? So what differentiates no contact from the silent treatment and ghosting? Well, number one, the motivation or the intention. Like I mentioned before, narcissists give you the silent treatment because they want to punish you for something they think you've done wrong, or they want you to think you've done wrong. Often this is a result of narcissistic injury, or it could be done out of pure selfishness and a lack of concern for your feelings and well-being. No contact is more about protecting yourself so that you can be safe and heal after going through an abusive, toxic relationship. The silent treatment is passive-aggressive and abusive, while no contact is really less about the narcissist and more about you. When we're talking about no contact, we're not trying to hurt anyone. We're just trying to save ourselves. That brings me to number two, what you get out of it. Again, the narcissist is often trying to get something from you when they give you the silent treatment. They're trying to get you to do or not do something, or they're trying to put you in your place, or they're trying to make you submit to their will. But when it comes to no contact, you really don't want anything from the narcissist except maybe for them to leave you alone. You don't have an ulterior motive that involves them at all. You're just trying to get away from them so that you can have the space that you need to heal. That brings me to my next point, the trauma part. Another difference between no contact and the narcissist ghosting or silent treatment is that no contact is one of the first steps to resolving the trauma bond developed during your toxic relationship with the narcissist. Since trauma bonding causes you to feel sort of addicted to the narcissist, going no contact can be likened to an addict going cold turkey to quit their drug of choice. Like it or not, the narcissist has an almost drug-like effect on us after all the years of trauma they've put us through. In fact, research shows the same part of our brain is affected by them as is affected by drugs. But while most narcissists have suffered some form of trauma, usually in childhood, their reasons for giving you the silent treatment or ghosting you are usually not directly related to it. But I mean, it can be indirectly related since their impulsiveness and lack of empathy probably stem from their reaction to that trauma. But anyway, how do you know you're not the narcissist? That's the question, right? Well, often codependents feel responsible for pretty much everything that goes wrong in their relationships. And this is often a result of the fact that toxic people over the course of their lives have conditioned them to feel this way. One of the biggest red flags of a toxic narcissist is that they refuse to take responsibility for anything other than the positive things they do, or others do sometimes. With that being said, anything that might be seen in a more negative light, or that doesn't portray the narcissist as the vision of perfection they have for themselves, well, those things they will most definitely squarely place the blame on anyone or anything else. So it's fairly safe to assume that if you're worried that you're the narcissist, you might not be. But if you work on your own self-esteem and you learn how to set proper boundaries for yourself, and then you recognize that you are worthy of love and respect, you're already going to be on your way to learning how to disarm the silent treatment of the narcissist. You don't have to just accept it and carry around this false hope that one day the narcissist will change, because chances are they will not. So how do you disarm a narcissist who's using the silent treatment? Well, picture this. You're getting the silent treatment again, a lovely part of the discard phase that everyone who's ever been in a narcissist's path probably has experienced. Maybe you've been accused of being selfish, or of ignoring the narcissist's emotional or physical needs, or of being dishonest or arrogant or lazy, or any number of insulting descriptives that they might throw at you. But for the record, what's really happening here most of the time is projection, as in narcissists project their own inadequacies onto you. So as usual, it's all about the narcissist and not about you. I know you're shocked. Assuming you're going to play the game, here's how you're going to cope with the silent treatment. The next time you're confronted with the icy, hateful, silent treatment for yet another perceived infraction, I want you to come back here, I want you to watch this video one more time, and I want you to remember this. This is a game of control. The narcissist believes they can control you with their own lack of communication and concern. The only way to take back your power here is to refuse to respond. That's right, you just go on about your life like the narcissist isn't even there. Do whatever you'd normally do, and you blatantly ignore the behavior no matter how pissed off they get. So yeah, that means don't send them texts trying to reason with them. Don't post any whiny crap on your Facebook. Don't allow the narcissist to know that they are affecting you in any way at all. Do not give them what they want when they behave this way, and they'll stop. When they realize they're not breaking your heart, they're gonna try something different. And while this definitely will not solve your narcissist problem, it will most definitely stop them from enacting the silent treatment for too long. Now here's another tip for you that you're gonna wanna pay attention to. The silent treatment will end, and if you're not careful, the narcissist will hoover you back in. When they decide the silent treatment is over, and guess what, they need your narcissistic supply again, they're gonna do anything in their power to do exactly what I said. They're gonna suck you back in. That's what we call the Hoover maneuver, so don't fall for it. It's really not gonna get any better, and they're really not planning to change. In fact, the very moment that you relent and you allow the narcissist back into your heart, back into your life, they're gonna go right back to the same behavior they've always shown you. I've talked about this in detail in a recent video, so I'm gonna go ahead and include a really quick clip for you right here, and then I'm gonna be right back to see you afterward. Take a look. Hoovering usually begins after the devalue and discard phases, when the silent treatment kind of stops giving the narcissist pleasure, and when they're ready for more of that good supply you've been feeding them for all of these months or years. Or it might start when you've left the narcissist and they fear that you just won't return. The idea here is that the narcissist needs to reestablish contact with you in order to get the narcissistic supply that you've been so good at providing up to this point. This isn't limited to romantic relationships, and it does extend to family members, including but not limited to their children. Beware of abuse amnesia. It's a condition often suffered by survivors of abuse who finally go no contact or leave the narcissist. It's when absence makes the heart grow fonder, so to speak. You literally sort of forget all the bad stuff, and you begin to romanticize the reality of your toxic relationship. Of course, this is as dangerous as you imagine it might be, as it leads to reuniting with your abuser often. All right, now this brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, have you ever had to deal with a narcissist's silent treatment? And what did you do to cope if you did? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm gonna leave for you right there and right there. And while you're here, hit the subscribe button right over there so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.